The White House is finalizing new rules on overtime pay. The rules could benefit an estimated 6 million lower-paid salaried workers. Employers, meanwhile, would have to either raise their minimum salaries, pay overtime, or limit their workers' hours. Most employer groups vocally oppose the rules, but not all. One group says its members, who serve the intellectually disabled, want to pay their workers more, but might not be able to afford to. NPR's Yuki Noguchi reports.
Thomas Mangrum has a helper come to his row house in Washington, D.C. every weekday.
I need help keeping my house clean and whatnot because I can't really do that on my own anymore. And bending down and whatnot, I can't really do that. And standing up over the stove cooking, I can't.
At 6'4", Mangrum is a big man. To move about the house, he maneuvers a wheelchair around his pet bird's cages.
Okay, let me back up here.
In addition to spinal injuries, right, Mangrum has intellectual disabilities.
I have trouble reading. I have a learning disability all my life. I was in a car accident when I was 2 years old.
So his helper, John Floyd, opens and reads the mail.
Okay. This is from Medicaid. Okay.
Floyd also helps keep Mangrum's schedule and travels with him to appointments.
Hello? Okay. Give me 1 second. Is Med Inc. calling?
Med Inc.? Yeah. They want to come today or something?
Floyd's employer, RCM, says managing cases like Mangrum's requires flexible work hours because things happen. The previous weekend, Mangrum was stranded alone with a broken wheelchair, so they dispatched someone to fix it. The new overtime rules might limit that kind of flexibility. Currently, most salaried workers earning less than about $24,000 a year are automatically eligible for overtime pay. With the changes, that salary threshold is expected to roughly double, making far more people eligible for overtime. Employers will have to either pay workers more or cut back hours. RCM CEO Amy Brooks says just charging more isn't an option. She relies exclusively on Medicaid reimbursement, and those rates are slow to increase.
It often takes a lot of time because states have to get approval for rate changes, so that's not going to be an easy fix.
Diana Hernandez is RCM's human resources manager. She's considered staggering shifts or offering compensatory time off, but she cannot reduce pay or she'll lose staff, and she can't cut staff because she doesn't want to hurt clients.
Talking about the different scenarios, and none of them seem like the right way to go for us. And so we know that we have to come up with something, but we don't want to lose services to the people. I mean, that's why we're here. That's why we do what we do.
Many other support service providers like RCM are in the same boat. Gabrielle Sedor is chief operating officer at Ancor, which represents service providers. She says her member companies want to be able to pay their employees more, but without extra revenue, the new requirements would likely force cutbacks.
What's most troubling to me is that over 20% thought that they would be forced to reduce services. And that's a real challenge because in every state, the need for services to people with intellectual disabilities is growing.
She says some are even considering shutting down. Meanwhile, back at Mangrum's row house, Ivan Parker worries about other effects. Parker is a coordinator who manages caregivers and their schedules. Caregivers aren't interchangeable, he says. They know their patients' routines and they have relationships.
When you disrupt these people's lives, they have behaviors. Because their schedule is disrupted.
So how many hours a week do you work?
It's supposed to be 40, but it's whatever. If I get a call, 3 or 4 calls in the morning, I'm up.
Mangrum, sitting nearby, chimes in. Disabilities, he says, don't only affect people between the hours of 9 and 5. Yuki Noguchi, NPR News, Washington.